Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I have the pleasure of chatting with rising thought leader, speaker, and author Joshua Tongel. Josh has spoken to crowds throughout the United States and abroad on topics such as religion, spirituality, and personal development. He offers new paradigms relevant for our day and age. Today, Josh and I are going to talk about one of my favorite topics, the subconscious mind, specifically how it creates your individual reality and how you can use thoughts, words, and feelings to direct it to create the life you want. It's going to be a great show, so let's get started. Hi, Josh. Welcome.
Hey, Lynn. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Great. So today we're going to talk about some of the insights you have in your book, The Secret to Awesomeness. But before we dive into that, just share with listeners a little bit about your story and kind of what that turning point for you was in 2006.
Yeah, okay. Well, back in 2005, I had like another another turning point for me in a bad way.
Oh.
Where I was actually suffering from like excruciating back pain. And so what happened was I was actually into breakdancing a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I just injured my back. It was pretty bad and ended up getting something called a herniated disc.
Oh.
And something called sciatica. So basically, the discs in my spine basically was bulging out and was like touching a nerve and shooting down to my leg. So that was like a really big part of my life that really shifted a lot of things for me physically and emotionally. And then not too long after, I had this one attack in my chest that I thought at the time was like a heart attack or might have been like a pre-heart attack where I basically had something wrong with my throat where I was diagnosed with something called GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Wow.
And so that happened in 2005. And then during that time, like I said, it was a really tough period for me. But in 2006, I met a guy who was miraculously healed, if we want to use that term, miracles.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was a skeptic for 8 years of miracles. Like, I didn't believe in any miracles. I know that sounds like such a downer, but I just didn't because I had a lot of bad experiences that I've had of, like, praying for healing for certain things as a child, and it just never happened. And so I wasn't someone that was, like, passive and just like, nah, I don't believe in miracles. But I was, like, the aggressive type, trying to convince people that, that there's no such thing as miracles. And so during that year period, that really, you know, was my mindset for like a long time. And then when I met this guy, he just had this miracle that was so powerful to me that it was hard for me to argue against it. And so this man had this crazy story where his discs in his spine actually ruptured, and he had 5 surgeries. He had some from UCLA and from Germany, and he brought in all the documentation. And for me, that's like a big thing for me. I have to see the documentation or else I'm just going to be skeptical, which is fair enough, I think, you know, for us. I just believe every story. And then after that, he shared the story about he had this, if you want to call it like an out-of-body experience or this vision where he saw like heaven. And trust me, at that time in my life, I don't believe in any heaven stories. Like, I was totally skeptical of, like, all the heaven stories growing up because I've heard them so much as a kid. But for some reason, this guy's miracle and the documentation he brought and the way he shared it, like, he wasn't, like, this dynamic speaker. He was just, like, this very quiet guy. But his evidence, you know, spoke louder than his words, you know. And so I'm hearing this guy, and he talked about how he just got miraculously healed in, like, an instant. Like, immediately after he had this, what you would call out-of-body experience, you know. And, you know, even his friend, one of his closest friends who's an atheist, even, you know, could confirm of his miracle, even though he's still an atheist, which is interesting.
That is.
And, Yeah, you know, because he couldn't deny what happened to this guy named William Beeson, who's actually a good friend of mine now. And so, in other words, to make a long story short, that impacted me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to get very confused because, like I said, I was so skeptical of those of any type of claim.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, that opened up my heart to go on this journey of discovering of whether or not miracles actually exist today.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I'm talking about like physical healing and not just like a miracle of birth.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about like this really extraordinary claim.
Uh-huh.
And from that point, I delved really heavily into this topic for several years and started to quote unquote pray for the sick at that time. And for the first time in my life, I started seeing immediate results, including my own body.
Uh-huh.
And so my back pain, like here's a long story short, my back is healed.
Wow.
And my GERDs is just completely gone, like totally gone.
Wow.
And that's something that I know for sure. This is not just like theory to me. Like it's an experience that I've had in my own life, which is why I travel and I speak on this topic, because I understand the pain that people can sometimes go through and how difficult it can be, especially having that in my early or mid-20s. This is back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like hopeless. And so what shifted my views was just my – when I had to change my thinking, and that's when everything started to change. So,
wow. That's quite a story. It's, I mean, it sounds like, you really made a quick, I don't want to say it was a quick turnaround, but you absorbed some information and some true awareness very quickly. And then you're saying there was a period of confusion of you're trying to figure out what to do with all of this information.
It could be tough. I mean, I was kind of known at my school to convince people to become skeptics. You know,
uh-huh.
It's so interesting. People knew me as a guy who got you to not believe anymore about miracles. And then all of a sudden, I started becoming the guy that starts telling you, no, it's real.
Yeah.
You know, and many students and even my professors at my university, they can testify of my miracle. Even the president of the school, and he knows my story. And, I guess that's just something that's so passionate for me because of the transformation that happened in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really tangible. I mean, I know from my own story it's less tangible. It's because it was more emotional-based,
sure.
my pain and my healing. But, yours
sure.
was super, super tangible, very physical. So you could see prior to this discovery you were in pain and your body was falling apart, and post the discovery you were healed. Amazing. You know, and would you say it was a change of thinking, or how, what do you think?
Ultimately it was a change of my thoughts and just having that become a reality in my own life. And so even during that time when I was suffering with the excruciating back pain in my sciatica, I did acupuncture, I did physical therapy, and like it just wasn't working. I was actually getting worse. But through that time, even changing my diet because of my chest problems that I was having because of my GERDs, like I still wasn't even getting better, like at all. I was taking medication, and it wasn't until I started changing my thinking and I was starting to believe that my healing is actually real now. That's when I started to see an effect in my body, you know. So, like I said, it was a process for me because of my doubts that I've had for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, that was so aggressive. I was a very skeptical person. Even when I'm, like, starting to explore the idea of healing, I was like, is this real or am I being deceived?
Yeah.
You know, like, those con artists or something on televangelism or something like that. That's how my mind was working at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started to change my thoughts, that I'm healed now, and I said, it sounds crazy, but I started to believe that my healing is actually right now, like it's already done.
Yeah.
And when I started to think that way, that's when I started to see a change in my body physiologically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I'm just getting emotional just thinking about it because I still remember. Yeah, I still remember.
In fact, I
remember my back pain and my chest pain almost every single day, just as a reminder of how much things have changed. Like last night, I ate quote-unquote junk food. I don't like calling it junk food. It's all good food.
Yeah.
But like I was eating it around midnight, and like chips and chocolate, Hershey bars.
Yum.
And just, I couldn't even, you know, people would say, don't even eat that before you go to bed. I mean, I ate it before I went to bed, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, but back in the day, I couldn't even eat that stuff at all at any time during the day, you know.
Wow.
And that stuff, it's amazing. It doesn't affect me at all. And so, you know, if you know more about my friend, I would throw out his book. It's called The Impossible Miracle by William Beeson, the one who was miraculously healed. That his story is the one that really opened me up to this journey. His body is not even normal in a way. If you read his story, like his body's just not normal. It has this strength that just comes out of nowhere. Like his body was super, super scrawny after five surgeries, you know, because you're bedridden.
Right.
So he was scrawny. And then after he was miraculously healed, his body beefed up.
Wow.
Like, it's just weird. And so even the skeptics at my school that are into science and stuff, they couldn't deny what happened to his body.
Right.
You know, like, he would even, you know, I would even, like, he would say, Josh, feel my arm. And he just said, Josh, you feel my stomach. I don't do any sit-ups or anything.
Wow.
And it just got strong. Like, he would have all this heat and energy just, like, coming out of his body. And and then I was able to to see that actually what happened, you know, it's actually true. And so it's just amazing. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And so then in the course of you trying to prove or disprove, I guess this is going on, because you remained skeptical for a while, you started to learn a lot and really take in a lot of information. And I know you've written a couple of books, and the one that is your most recent one, The Secret to Awesomeness. You talk a lot about just that role, the subconscious mind, and the things that you've learned about how the subconscious mind really controls everything. So I want to bring that into the conversation, because I think that's so important. Yeah. People really, they do discount the thoughts, and you identified already that it was changing your thoughts that healed your body. And so I want to dive into that subconscious mind and kind of what's going on there that's holding people back, how it's forming their beliefs, how it's, you know, forming their reality, all that.
Sure, sure. So the subconscious mind plays a huge role. And as I mentioned in my book, in a sense, we have two minds, you know. So we have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. So the interesting thing about it is that we actually operate from our subconscious mind 95% of the time. So why there was a confusion for me during that period of my injury and in wanting to get healed is because my conscious mind, I want to be healed.
Of course.
You know, I'm trying to get better. But my subconscious mind, especially because I operated from that mostly, was, I think, more powerful in that sense, which is why there was a struggle in the beginning, you know. So, like I said, when you want to change your world, it's when you actually start changing your subconscious thoughts, because those are the things, that's your mind that actually runs the show. So it wasn't until, of course, I was reading books on healing and visiting quote-unquote healers, like that started to instill in me more faith, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was a process for me, because I still had a lot of skepticism in me, which I don't deny was justified in some ways, because there are con artists out there.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That will take money and stuff. And so, but during that process, my mind started to shift, where in the beginning, it was hard for me to believe a little bit, you know, like I would still have that doubt. And then as time went on, as I started to influence my subconscious mind by reading more books, by stepping out, quote unquote, in faith and praying for people, and seeing people in front of me getting healed, that started to affect my subconscious mind.
Okay.
You know, because that was the one that was really shaping the way I was actually seeing everything mostly. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So whereas your conscious mind was saying, I want to heal, I want to be healed, the subconscious was giving your body a different message. More of the skeptic.
It's big. You know, or it just played a big role. And so that's the point that I make in my book, is that if you want to see a change in your world, you got to affect your subconscious mind and let your conscious mind and your subconscious mind be in harmony.
Yeah. And the way you have affected your subconscious mind, it sounds like, was you said you were reading books, you were actively praying for other people's healing. So you were seeing things manifesting in your reality in front of you that were then your subconscious mind was starting to shift a little bit.
It was actually my experience that played a major role, and it wasn't just the reading, because even when I did the reading, yeah, it was giving me some stuff to think about, but there's still that back in my head, like, I have to see it myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, hard for me to just take the claim of these healers and stuff. And then it wasn't when I started to, because I was a minister at the time, and I would speak a lot. And so when I started speaking at different places, I purposely would teach on healing just so I could see if I could see more healings. Even though I was still having a little bit of some doubts, but I would put myself, I'm good under pressure. That's what I realized about myself. If I put myself under pressure, I can do it.
Yeah.
And so when I would speak on healing and I'm still new at this stuff, I would pray for people with a little bit of nervousness. I started to do it, and then I started to see healings happen. And then when I started seeing stuff with my own eyes, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is real, you know. And yeah, there was just that, that was a big part. So it's information that could affect your subconscious mind, and it's also experience that plays a big role in shaping the way you could start to believe certain things.
And a way for somebody to get a sense of what's going on in their subconscious mind is to look out, again, into their reality and seeing what they're creating, what they're surrounding themselves with. Because the subconscious mind isn't very accessible, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So if somebody, let's say, again, let's get into, you know, messages that maybe they received as a kid, because, you know, I talked about this a lot on the show, and you did mention this in your book, too, that, you know, we're pretty much sponges up until about six or seven, and we're just taking in information and ways of thinking and ways of being and things that we believe from the people around us. And so the, the subconscious mind is taking those as truth and starting to make us act in the world to validate that. So if somebody gets to, I'm worthless, you know, let's say they get that from their parents and they're holding that in their subconscious, then if they look out into the world and see that they're attracting a lot of people to them that are treating them as worthless, and that would be that would be a sign, right, to what's going on inside.
Okay. Exactly. That, you know, you made a good point. It is about that age of when you're up to like 7 years of age where your mind is, your brain is in like a dreamlike state. It's like a sponge. You know, so it's sad, but, you know, like for people who had had rough childhoods or parents or people in their lives who have spoken negative things like you're worthless or I wish you were never born. They eventually they have to reprogram their mind if they don't want to feel that way, you know, have those words affected by them. But it's possible to reprogram, so it's not that there's no hope, you know, because we've all heard negative things, you know, including myself. And so when I got older, I just had to reprogram, and there's different ways that you can do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the positive message, exactly. It can be reprogrammed. So if things are not manifesting in your life exactly how you want, or if somebody's walking around angry all the time or fearful all the time, there's something in the subconscious going on that can be reprogrammed and changed, and that's wonderful. I think that's a really
great
message.
Yeah.
So how do you know, feelings and visualization, all those other tools, how do they come into play when you're trying to reprogram your subconscious mind?
Yeah, so feelings play a big role, and I think this is a part that when I was first starting to do healing in the beginning, I didn't know how important this component was. So when I was first learning, I was just taught, like, speak things, you know, speak positive words. Which is not a bad thing. But I would just do it, and I wouldn't notice much of a change in my life. You know, just how there are people who they like reading, like they call it devotionals, you know, or like affirmation books, and they would put, or they would write down stuff on sticky notes, and then they would say it like 100 times, and there would be no change, whether they're talking about money or health or whatever. But feelings play a huge role, as I mentioned in my book, because when you have feelings, it actually is the evidence of what you're actually believing. So I would actually make feeling and, in a sense, believing synonymous and interchangeable with each other. So when I show in my book, it's not that words in and of themselves are empty, totally, but if you really want your words to have power, it needs to be coupled with emotion. And so that's, you know, I mean, if you tell somebody, hey, don't worry about money, and they're like, nah, I'm not worried about it. I'm like, yeah, but how do you feel about it right now?
Like,
I don't want to I have to pay this. Well, then you're not really believing it, you know, and it's it's sad, you know, because you don't want to make people feel bad, but that's the truth of the matter. Your feelings reveal what you're actually believing at the moment, no matter what you say. But you say enough things, enough times, it could affect your subconscious mind. It could affect your feelings. So, but like I said, I don't know how it all works, but feelings, as I mentioned in the book, it's where you feel the feeling, and I got that phrase from Greg Braden, you know, where you feel the feeling that something is already done.
Right.
And that's where I would use faith and also feelings in a way interchangeably too, where if you're quote unquote praying for something, don't look at your request as though you don't have it yet,
mm-hmm.
but feel the feeling that you already have it and act mm-hmm. as if you already have it. And for some reason, I don't know how, it works.
I agree.
You know, and I don't need to figure it all out, but that's what I've learned in my own life.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a powerful thing that you need to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to affect your subconscious, keep speaking your positive affirmation, which is great, but say mm-hmm. it to the point where you start feeling it. Once mm-hmm. you start feeling it, live it out. Act
nice.
It out,
yeah.
and it'll work out.
Yeah, that's you summed that up really well, and I agree with you. I think the component of feelings is an often overlooked part of manifesting.
Right.
Because a person can say over and over, you know, looking in the mirror, I love myself, I'm beautiful, all these things, but
yeah.
if they're...
And
but
they
if,
walk away horrible.
Right, and they walk away with, you know, the subconscious is like, that's not true, that's not true, it's not true. Well, it just... Again, and then you made this point in the book too, which I always like to point out, is it's the subconscious mind. It doesn't, you know, you said it doesn't have a sense of humor. You know, you listed a couple of things, but it doesn't know right and wrong. So,
right.
if you're saying all these positive affirmations and then there's this counter to those, then it's just negating. It's just creating then
exactly
some zero game. And when you were talking about the feelings and the believing in it. Reminded me of what you're saying in the very, very beginning when we were talking about your journey is that you at a point came to believe that you were healed now. You know, you held that belief and then your body answered that belief.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It is. And I'm with you.
But of course at that time I was more into like my religion at the time as a, mm-hmm. as a Christian, you know, things are a lot different now with my faith in Christianity. But at that time, I was raised in Christianity, and so I was geared towards something called like the charismatic version, where you believe in miracles and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. But at that time, I didn't hear the phrase "feel the feeling."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not something that I heard. But for my context, what I would believe is that I don't want to get into that. Yeah, it's just there's so many other things I could mention.
I know.
I just believe that I was already healed.
Yeah.
And not that I was going to be healed, but at that it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the words that I would use back in the day. Remember, it's a done deal. It's already done.
That's nice.
Wow. But feeling the feeling, it was just an add-on for me to understand, like, no, I need to feel it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what revolutionized my understanding of faith at this time in my life, was just to feel it.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's a very important component, and I even... You know, you mentioned visualization too, and I think that's the same thing. I call it visualization. So, like physically visualizing, you know, physically feel what it's going to be like to, you know, be in that, you know, what you're wanting. And it's because the feelings are what have the energy, as you're saying.
Yeah.
That's the attractive force. And I go back to what you said too, like, I don't know how it all works. I just know it does. And I don't think any of us can really know how. I talk with a lot of people, as you know, on my show, and I'll have some people say, you know, I want to know the answer. What is the truth? I'm like, we cannot possibly know the infinite, but we can see how it's working in our life and try to open this, you know, this information up to other people, which is what you're doing, you know, with your books mm-hmm. and the, you know, YouTube and all the things that you have out there. And so I think what you're doing is amazing. I love listeners out there. I love Josh's approach. The book, The Secret to Awesomeness, is written very accessibly. It isn't full of a lot of jargon and things that you have to dive through. I mean, he just presents everything so clearly and just very conversationally, a little bit of humor. So listeners definitely encourage you to check out the book. And Joshua, is the best website for people to find things about you and find your book? Is it your Joshua?
It's just my joshuatongol.com.
Okay.
My last name is spelled TONGOL.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, on there people can access the website. I know you have a couple other books too that people can check out and all that. So is there anything that you want to add? Any bit of encouragement you want to give my listeners?
Just to be happy today, just enjoy your day, as your show is called Create Your Reality. You know, you have a choice today to wake up and just let your day pass by without really enjoying it, or you can learn to just enjoy this moment and recognize that with your choices and with your thoughts, you can choose to create the rest of your day. And if any of you guys are discouraged with whatever is going on in your life, I just encourage you. You know, we've all been through tough times. I've been through tough times, and you're not alone. And just want to encourage you to just lift up your head, and things are going to get better. You know, I mean, the pain and all those things will eventually pass. And so be encouraged today. You're loved, and life's good.
Nice. That's lovely. And the first part of that message, I agree 100%. It's a choice. Wake up every day and just choose to be happy. Choose to find something
right
out there. Choose to find thoughts that make you happy, feelings that make you happy. And
Yeah,
because that just builds
like
more.
Before I was even talking to you, I was watching like comedy shows on YouTube just to make me laugh. That's part of my habit every morning.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's what I do. So find out what helps you to be happy today, basically. So.
Yeah, and the tools, and I think that's a great. I mean, so many people wake up and they're on their smartphones checking the news. I'm like, why are you doing that first thing in the morning?
Yeah, that doesn't help, especially when you're just waking up, too.
Yeah, because you're very
susceptible. Well, your mind's a little bit more, so in other words, just feed your mind with positivity. You know, you'll notice a difference in the way you feel throughout the day.
Oh, great. I love it. All right, listeners, well, that wraps up today. Josh, thank you so much for being on the show. Really, really appreciate your time. And listeners, just be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.